And welcome back to our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, we have Lindsay So, Assistant Director for the Office of Arts, Culture, and the Creative Economy here in Philadelphia. Lindsay, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Let's start off with that 30-second elevator speech. I always start the show this way. And tell us, what exactly is the Office of Arts, Culture, and the Creative Economy?
Sure. So the Office of Arts, Culture, and the Creative Economy is the City of Philadelphia's office that works to support and promote arts and culture and creativity in Philadelphia. So through public art, visual arts, and performing arts, we try and promote and support artists all throughout the city.
And of course, part of this, it says that it's a cultural, and culture doesn't just mean art, does it? This is our Philadelphia history and what makes us Philadelphia.
Exactly. So Philadelphia culture is something that includes performing arts, but also includes history. It includes our libraries. It includes public art. It includes our gardens. It includes our experience in Philadelphia, which makes Philadelphia a really vibrant place and creative place to live.
And I think that's probably one of the reasons why Philadelphia was the first World Heritage City in the United States.
Yeah. So Philadelphia has more than just history as our heritage. We have arts and culture. We have murals. We have public art. And there's a lot of arts and culture about Philadelphia that makes us unique.
Hmm. And of course, when somebody thinks about Philadelphia art, we do think, of course, in terms of our mural arts program, which I know this office was very integral to when it started out all those many, many years ago. But we also have other unique forms that you don't see anywhere else. Our mosaic work.
Yeah, yeah. So our public art in Philadelphia is something that's unique and also is the model for other cities. So we have our commissioning program through our Percent for Art program. So any City of Philadelphia construction project has to require up to 1% of that cost to go towards public art. And this is for city-owned property as well as private-owned property. So that's why our recreation centers and libraries have so much art throughout the construction of the buildings.
I went to the grand opening of the archives, Office of the Archives.
Yeah.
And they worked with the Mural Arts Program, I think, too, to create that piece. And their public art is that fascinating kind of a pseudo map of Philadelphia, mm-hmm. and it's interactive. That thing's fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. And it was really – so all of our Percent for Art is inspired by the specific site that it's installed in. So because of the city archives, they took a lot of the history that they find in those records, and she incorporated it into the public art so you can visit. And it's also public – open to the public now, so that way you can go in and see all that public art.
And is that key? I wanted to talk about the 1% mm-hmm. a little bit more in depth later on, but let me just ask this. So if it's a 1%, we all get to see it?
Yes. Yes. It has to be in a public setting, in a place where people can walk in off the street and see it.
Yeah. It's not in the corner office where the CEO sits on the 55th floor.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, okay. So then let's get back into, there's something I noticed here. This creative economy. When mm-hmm. we talk about the creative economy, what the heck is that?
So the creative economy is essentially what the economy that is supported or supports the artists and creative entrepreneurs in the city. So not just visual artists and theater artists, but also screen printers, graphic designers, people that work in non-creative jobs. So even the accountant for a theater company, that's the creative economy.
Is that huge in Philadelphia?
Yeah. So the creative economy is it generates about $3.4 billion in Philadelphia. It's a local economic impact, and it generates about $157 million in local tax revenue. So it is a really large, integral part of Philadelphia and its economy.
Oh, wow. I think the creative economy, I think, oh, well, how many hundreds of dollars were generated in each little artist's studio
exactly.
along the way? And I didn't even think about that you would include the delivery people who mm-hmm. work at a gallery, the screen printers and all yeah. those others, the ushers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and there's also the idea that when you attend a performance or attend an event, there's additional things that you do. So whether it's paying the babysitter or going out to eat beforehand.
Parking,
exactly. So that cost is indirect, but it's associated with the creative work and the creative
So everything from the bell cap at the hotel lounge when you go in to the Uber driver is generating creative economy money here.
Yeah, exactly. Ah. Yeah.
And I'm going to also guess that from the PHL, you're working in the tourism industry as well.
Yeah. I mean, adjacent. We mostly work as a city institution or a city department. We primarily serve the residents of Philadelphia, but we do partner with and help promote arts and culture outside of Philadelphia as well.
Oh, and when you mentioned that we're like a role model, and I've known mm-hmm. from the years where Mural Arts comes in a couple times a year and talks, and okay. and they always have somebody in tow, somebody who is an artist from Iowa who's come in to do a project, and they're mm-hmm. going to learn, they're going to teach us, but at the same time, they're going to take that project back and spread the word about how we accomplish these projects here. So we've been spreading the news for a long time that Philly is a hub for original work, original thought.
Yeah, exactly. So we have the largest and oldest public art collection in the city of Philly, or in the country. We have over 1,100 pieces of public art, and it's always growing because of our percent for art commissioning process. We are the first city to institute the percent for art mandate. So we, as a city, were inspired and required ourselves to continue to create public art and commission public art as we built our city. And that has really been a model for other cities to create the percent for art program, to institute mandates for public art, for just increasing the presence of art in their cities.
Mm. It just got away from me. In those 2 seconds, my thought just ran away, and it's galloping down the street there. So how about a little bit of a history then? Because you just touched upon that we're the first city, et cetera, and it goes mm-hmm. back many years. How did this office, or how did the idea of public art get started in Philadelphia?
So the public art was percent for art was created. The ordinance was created in 1959. So we're actually coming up this year on the 60th anniversary of the percent for art ordinance. So we'll be celebrating that throughout the rest of this year. But the office itself was established in, I believe, 1986, and was briefly shut down due to a recession, so budget issues. And there was public art continued and a lot of other work continued, but the office itself was no longer in existence. And then in 2008, the office was reestablished to include the creative economy as well. And we've been kind of working with the mayor's office and city departments to continue and pick back up where we left off to start integrating arts and culture throughout the city work.
And, of course, as one of the first capitals of the United States,
exactly.
we got started early
yeah.
on collecting pieces. And, of course, it started off as monuments. But today it's not just statues of George Washington. It's the Toreador, or it's a great mural.
Yeah, yeah. And so we have all sorts of different public art that are created. We have, again, we still have statues. We actually have the first statue of a young woman in Philadelphia that's at Smith Playground in Southwest Philadelphia. But we also do artwork that is installation-based. So like you mentioned, at the City Archives, it's more interactive. There's stuff that is created with students and the artists. And so it's very community-driven. A lot of all of our work is community-driven because we serve Philadelphia.
What's the process for this? And especially like the 1%, because mm-hmm. I can't think of the commissioner's name right now, Jim Leonard, when he was talking about it, when he was cutting the ribbon on the mural wall inside the archives, I talked about the process was so quick and so smooth, but so it made me think, of course, well, what is the process, especially when you do have community groups participating, mm-hmm. or it might be a special initiative to use recently released, the incarcerated in a project. There's so many parts that go to this. How do you come up with, yes, this is a good piece of public art? Oh, that ain't going to stand the test of time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So the Mural Arts Program, they have their own process, but for the city of Philadelphia, our process is once the percent for art ordinance is triggered, there is the idea that there is a request for qualifications. So we put out a national call to all artists talking about the budget and the space and asking for essentially a resume for artists that have done similar work. And then when they respond, there is a shortlist that's created of finalists. And once that is created, those finalists are invited to propose a actual example of what they would install in the site. And after that, a selection panel selects the artists that they would like to see create that monument or that piece of public art, and it goes to the Art Commission, which is a city commission that has mayoral and city appointees that basically oversee and make sure that everything that is put in the public sphere in the city, so whether it's billboards or changes to buildings or public art, that it can withstand the test of time and is not offensive, essentially.
And so, oh, that'd be fun. Oh, I smell a challenge there on that one. But so this is actually, this goes out to artists across the country. It's not just limited to regional or Philadelphia artists.
Yeah, exactly. So our Percent for Art program, that is the one program, a part of our office that goes nationally. For our other office programs and our initiatives, our Art in City Hall Exhibitions Initiative, as well as our Arts in Action performance-based initiatives and neighborhood-based initiatives, those are all local artists.
Okay, well, we're going to have to talk about those as well then. So about how many – I'm throwing you under the bus here. But how many pieces do we get in the course of a year? Or do you look in terms of how many in the course of X number of years to go up?
For public art, we look over the course of a year, but also understanding that public art, especially in this process and with the scale of the public art that's created, can take over years. So approximately 5 to 7 percent for art commissions are finished every year, but that does not include the usually over 30 that are ongoing.
And so on a 1%, so if it's a $500 million building going up, I can't do the math, but I'm thinking, wow, that's mm-hmm. that's a pretty investment into a piece of art for this city.
Yeah. And so it was really interesting and great to see that when the ordinance was created in 1959, that the city actually wanted to continue that and compel themselves to, I guess, accept that challenge to do up to 1% of public art.
And I think it's cool that there's no cap.
Yeah. Well, up to 1%.
Up to 1%, but no, but up to 1% to X.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that $500 million building is the same as that $50,000 trigger. I'm terrible.
Try to do math.
I can't do math. If I work hard at it, it comes around eventually. But you know what? You're listening to Our Delaware Valley, and I'm Laura Lewis. Today we are talking to Lindsay So, and she is the Assistant Director for the Office of Arts, Culture, and the Creative Economy. And you can find them at creativephl.org. That's creativephl.org. And when you go there, you don't just see pictures of the art that's available in Philadelphia, but there are other things there. You work to get us non-creative people involved with the art through getting us to these performances or telling us about where to find pieces of art throughout the city. So, like, let's start with ArtsLink.
Sure. So ArtsLink is a arts education tool, essentially. So it was made to help promote the opportunity for arts programming or throughout the city. So to arts learning programming, exactly. So if you're interested in certain classes, whether it's dance classes or arts making classes or drawing classes, that you can filter based off of your age group, the time, the neighborhood you're in. And it's also a great tool for arts organizations to use as well to help promote what they're offering and their arts programming that they're offering.
So are they classes or are they exhibits or other events?
So those are classes. And so that's more of a learning tool. And then so the events alternative is our Arts Access Calendar, which is also on our website. And that promotes free arts events all year round. So whether it's from our office or from other arts organizations throughout the city, they can submit their information. And as a potential participant in the arts, if you are looking to do something over the weekend, you can look for and filter by date, by interest, by discipline, to find out something that's free and exciting to do over the course of a weekend or later that week. And there are usually up to around 4,000 activities, free activities, at any given time.
4,000?
Yeah, there's a lot of free things to do in Philadelphia.
and free. That's amazing. So you already alluded to the Art in the City program and Art in Action. Mm-hmm. And then you've got an access calendar and the Art Link for classes. So that means that you're dealing with multiple organizations throughout the city that are offering programming.
Yes. So we, in addition to offering programming ourselves and arts activities, we also help promote the arts activities of other organizations in the city.
Well, so how does art in the city and art in action then fit into what you're doing? How do you organize it? Or do you actually organize these programs, or do organizations come to you and say, we're going to do these and we'll be in this neighborhood, or on this corner?
So for organizations that have a certain idea of what they want to do and when they're going to do it, they are able to submit their information to our Arts Access calendar. And every week we send out a promotional email to our 10,000 subscribers that talks about something that is free that is happening that week. For Arts in Action, those are activities and events that we present ourselves. So we partner with parks, city-owned sites for the most part, recreation centers, libraries, community schools, to help bring arts activities and performances to cities and neighborhoods.
And are those free and
yes,
open to the public?
Always free. Everything that we present and do or support, it has to be free.
You're talking about the neighborhoods here. Can a neighborhood try to initiate having some kind of an art program or an arts project start?
Oh, of course. And we always love to be a resource to help people understand what goes into that. You know, there's a lot more to presenting an arts activity than just creating the show and making a poster. There's a lot of having to work with artists and understand how they work. So we like to definitely be a resource to help connect communities and neighborhoods to artists as well.
Do you have any special initiatives? I'm just throwing this one out. Mm-hmm. Do you have any special initiatives for the neighborhoods individually, or anything to work with tying a community together through art?
Sure. So we try to do that through all of our activities. So our Arts in Action neighborhood-based programming, we like to work with whether it's a community group or a friends group within the libraries or the recreation centers. We try to work with them to get an understanding of the type of programming they want and match them with artists or potential possibilities for the type of arts activities they're interested in.
So if I'm in Chinatown, I might get one type of programming. Maybe I would like programming in a different language. Mm-hmm. It can be anything.
Exactly. Yeah. And we have a call for creative talent on our website, which is the source and the resource for how we learn about artists and arts activities and around the city. So if you're an artist or a performer or a teaching artist and you want to kind of get your word and your name out there, our call for creative talent is a way to make sure that you, one, receive all of our calls for artists for our activities, but also to be a kind of a roster for us. So when we're asked about a certain type of artist or a certain type of discipline, we can look at that and be able to find you.
Okay, so let's talk about the range of what the performances could be. Mm-hmm. and the art that could be. What,
sure.
What are some of the things that are offered here?
So we've done circus arts. We have done traditional theater. We've had support for just musical performance, so anything from jazz to pop to spoken word. And we've also done a combination of a few things. So we also have helped create a visual arts project that has spanned over a couple weeks and ended up promoting it and presenting it as an exhibit in a school in the Northeast.
Wow. And of course, then speaking of schools, do you coordinate work with the public school system here?
So we actually every year in September during back to school, we have our Art in City Hall exhibitions program is focused on the school district and their arts program. So we have an A+ arts exhibition in City Hall, which is work from over I forget how many students, but from about 22 schools throughout the city. And it features and promotes kind of the idea and value of arts education. And we partner with the school district on that. And then we also, in August, we work with the school district to do a arts education fair. So we bring arts education organizations to the Kimmel Center usually, which is where the art teachers are for the professional development day, to kind of get them to talk and meet and learn about what opportunities there are for them to work together. So trying to help introduce new arts groups to schools.
That's amazing. And you have a gallery, too. It's
yes,
a freestanding gallery right inside mm-hmm. City Hall.
Yeah, yeah. So our office is actually also an art gallery. So we are in the art gallery in City Hall. We also have display cases throughout City Hall. So on the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth floors, almost every floor of City Hall, there are display cases that showcase art from community organizations or arts organizations throughout the neighborhood. So it's really showcasing the people's art in the people's building.
Wow. And now let's change the completely over. We're going to go shiftly over. We're going to shift completely over to the cultural aspect of the office, because once you have that statue from the 1700s of George Washington and you've got a mural that was put up 2 years ago, et cetera, you're also charged with the care and maintenance of our public resources.
Yeah. So we are in charge. Our public art director is the leader within the office, but the office is charged with preserving and maintaining the city's public art assets.
And that means polishing the statues whenever they need it, and sandblasting and cleaning and just protecting murals and taking graffiti down, et cetera.
Yeah, there's not as much vandalism as one would think, but there is always something that's needed to, you know, again, like you said, polish or restabilize. A lot of times old statues are not secure on the ground, so you have to restabilize them. So we've done things from, the Pegasus statues outside of the Please Touch Museum to the, I forget what they're called, they're like the flying angels that are on Kelly Drive. Those have been taken down, restabilized, put back up.
I know that you just finished the Holocaust Museum. The Holocaust Memorial had to be cleaned and fixed recently. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to watch as something comes down. I don't know the name of it either. The bronze piece that's right across from City Hall. All right. It's fun. It was interesting to watch that stuff. But then it's also, you have some properties too, because you have the Bethel Burying Ground.
Oh, yeah. So the Bethel Burying Ground will be a memorial soon. Right now it is underneath the Wekako Playground. So in the early to middle of the 1800s, their Mother Bethel Church had a separate private parcel of land that they used as a burying ground. And once that land was sold to the city, it was created as a garden and continued to grow to the size that it is now, to a full block. And over time, the history was kind of forgotten that there was a burying ground underneath there. So there's been a lot of public conversation around it, and we're excited to later this year announce the request for proposals or request for qualifications to find an artist to create a memorial that will really celebrate the lives of the people that are interred there, as well as recognize the many histories that site has experienced.
And that's going to be obviously an intercommission. I don't know how to interdepartmental project,
yes,
won't it? Because
yes.
I'm going to guess archives have come up several times in this conversation. Mm-hmm. Archives will be involved in that one.
And it's a public park still. So we will work with Parks and Recreation. And actually, the site was just recently awarded the Pennsylvania Historic and Museums Commission a state marker for its historic significance.
Do we have a lot of those too, don't we?
Yeah.
Who oversees that programming?
That's the Historical Commission. So the city has a local historic commission, and they work with the city as well as with the Commonwealth about making sure that the history is told throughout the city.
And so here's the next question. How does all of this stuff get paid for? And how do you work with grants and funds? Are you tax-based?
So we are – there's no dedicated tax that supports the city's Office of Arts and Culture. We do apply for grants for a lot of our new programming. But for the most part, our programming and activities are supported through just the general revenue from the city earns.
You know, we're starting to run out of time here, so let's wind this down and start talking about some of the programming, because warm weather is finally, I think, here. Initiatives and programming that you got coming up?
Sure. So in April will be Jazz Appreciation Month for the city, so we lead the city in our Philadelphia Celebrates Jazz initiative, which showcases the influence of jazz and raises the awareness of jazz history and past and present in Philadelphia. So we will have two awards and to kick off Jazz Appreciation Month, which happens in March. But throughout April, there will be over 200 events happening throughout the city, which can be found on our Arts Access calendar. And we will also be presenting our Philly Celebrates Jazz Neighborhood Series. So all of our neighborhood programming will be dedicated to jazz, from jazz dance to jazz music to art making that's inspired by jazz.
And how does City Hall get involved with the Jazz Month? Do we actually get to hear jazz anywhere? I'm going to guess, obviously, in some of the performances, but anywhere
yeah,
else?
Yeah, so in our art gallery, in addition to art during April, we're transforming it into a listening lounge. So there'll be different listening stations to listen to a playlist created by previous jazz award winners, as well as a documentary about Benny Golson, who was a one of our earlier jazz award winners honored by the city. So it'll be a nice change. We'll have art on the walls, history available, and information about different winners, as well as jazz to listen to.
Oh, that's pretty cool. And obviously free.
Yes. Always free. Yep. Okay. And the gallery is usually open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
And then after April, do you have programming throughout the summer, especially with the kids being out of school and
yep.
all?
Yep. So throughout the summer, we have our Performances in Public Spaces initiative. So that will be announced later in May, the actual schedule. But it's a summer of free cultural performances and activities in parks and plazas throughout the city. So usually we have, artists that do acrobatics, theater, musical performances, and other activities throughout the city.
And again, these are all free?
Yes, all free.
And then what else will we find when we go to your website?
So you will find, like we mentioned before, our arts access calendar and any call for artists or opportunities. So while there may not be a call for artists or an opportunity now, there will be, I'm sure, in the future. So our art exhibitions in City Hall usually do a call for artists every couple months. And then when there is a call for artists for our Percent for Art program, that will be on our website as well. And there are other opportunities that we post on our website that are not necessarily associated with our office, but we want to make sure that artists are aware of them.
And what if I'm hearing this and I go, you know, I haven't looked at this. I haven't looked at these statues, Pegasus, in front of the Please Touch Museum, and some of those amazing sculptures that still remain from the centennial celebration. Mm-hmm. Or I'm thinking, wow, I haven't looked at Toreador in 20 years. Time to get down there on market. So is there a guide to what is where?
Yes. So we actually have our first edition of our public art field guide is available, I believe, at the Pennsylvania Museum of Art, as well as the Visitor Center, both on Independence Mall and in City Hall. And there should be a digital version online as well. And we are working on updating it to include more pieces of public art, because I believe that edition was made in 2014 or 2015. So we've definitely added several more pieces of public art since then.
And again, online, can we find anything at your website?
Yes. Yes, there'll be, there's the digital version, as well as you can see images of the before and after of different more recent Percent for Art program, Percent for Art commissions, as well as conservation.
Oh, again, the conservation. Can we find out information more about that, too, there?
Yeah. Yep. It's all on our website.
And stuff to look forward to in the future. We've got coming up, well, of course, all of April is Jazz Appreciation here in Philadelphia. But if you go to the website, which is creativephl.org, you're going to find the Arts Access Calendar. And that is a great resource for artists to get their word out and be seen by the city. And, of course, if you're interested in learning more about art, ArtsLink, a tool that will help you find Philadelphia's arts programs and tap your inner artist in that as well. And I'm an educator and I'm hearing this, do you have programming online that we can find there too?
Sure. So ArtsLink would probably be just as good as a resource for that. And then keeping an eye out for signing up for our email list, so that way you can keep an eye out for our Arts Education Fair, which will happen this August.
And the Arts Education Fair, of course, coming up at the Kimmel Center, you said?
Usually.
And usually. Mm-hmm. And then Art in the City and Art in Action will be coming as the weather warms up. So a lot to look for at creativephl.org. My guest today has been the Assistant Director for the Office of Arts, Culture, and the Creative Economy, Lindsay So. Lindsay, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Our Delaware Valley.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.